Are we on? No, I need to put this on.
Then we'll be on.
Sorry about that. Good afternoon. I enjoyed the lunch and feel a little bloated, but not too bad. Let me just take a second to get this right. Not used to these ear pieces. Dwayne was trying to straighten me out or you're on, but we'll get it. And there are probably going to be some other folks trickling in that may be finishing lunch. And I heard the preacher was really long-winded this morning, so that's probably part of the issue. When I get wound up sometimes, it just keeps on going, just keeps on coming out. But I appreciate you all being here for this, and we're going to have a great time with this panel discussion. The panel discussion is going to focus on marital matters, marital issues, and we've got a very distinguished panel up here, and I'm going to just give the names quickly, go through it, and then come back through and have these gentlemen and ladies kind of introduce yourselves, and just because not everyone knows everybody up here, and some of you might be visiting as well. So when we go through those other introductions, I'll just ask you to share just a little bit about yourself and your maybe marriage and family. Just give a little skinny on that. We'll go through, and then we'll start with the questions. But I really appreciate having David and Barbie Brown on the left there, and Lance and Donna Rushing, next couple, and then Bill and Twyla Jones, and Pam and Frank Wumple that are going to be sharing. And Frank, you know, and Pam, they're kind of repeat customers. They were on the other panel yesterday, and Frank was saying, man, they had to get some people that were really screwed up, you know, up here to kind of share the story. I appreciate these guys. They did an awesome job yesterday, as did our panel, and I know that they'll add a lot. But let's start there on the far left with David and Barbie. Kind of each take a turn. Just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe how many years you've been married and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Hold the mic right up to your mouth, please, if you don't mind.
Okay. I'm Barbie, David. We've been married almost 26 years. It'll be 26 years in April. We have three boys. Our oldest son, Will, got married this past May to his high school girlfriend. So they'll be married a year this May. Our middle son, Sam, is 20, and he's a sophomore at South Alabama. And our youngest son, Noah, is 16. He's a sophomore at Oakmont High School.
Great. Thank you. You want to add anything to that?
I think that was perfect.
All right. Right answer. Good. Hand it on down. There we go.
We are Lance and Donna Rushing, and we've been married next month on the first day of spring for 35 years. We have three children. Stephanie, our oldest, is married to Ryan Garrett, who they attend here. His parents do. And they have blessed us in the last 2 years with three granddaughters. Poppy is two, and the twins are 4 months, almost 5 months old. Will, our son, is married. He met his wife at Lipscomb. All three of our children attended Lipscomb. And Brittany went on a mission trip, our youngest, to Australia, and paid me back for what I did to my parents and told us that she had met the love of her life in 3 weeks while visiting Australia. They've been married now for 1 year.
That's great. All right, you got it. Thank you. Bill and Twyla.
Bill and Twyla Jones. Twyla is dealing with some laryngitis today, so she's going to try to talk and address some of these issues. But with regard to us, we've been married for 33 years. We have two children. Both of them are grown and gone and married. Jordan and his wife Annie are in Thomasville, Georgia. Juliana and her husband Jordan May are in Auburn now, and we have one grandson through them, Remington, and we're enjoying that.
Thank you.
Frank and Pam Womple, also married 34 years. If you had to attend yesterday's session to learn all about our kids, so get the video. Three daughters, three son-in-laws, three grandchildren, and I'll just leave it at that.
One grand dog.
Okay.
Pam,
radically different backgrounds. Pam grew up in the Church of Christ professionally. She was in retail management for quite a number of years, but then became a stay-at-home mom after the kids were preteens. And myself, I grew up in a denominational church. In fact, at one point was an ordained minister and baptized at the Center Point Church of Christ back in 1990. And now I'm a retired firefighter paramedic, and I work for an international construction company.
Very good. Thank you all. Let's give them a round of applause, our panel. All right. Well, we're going to start with Frank down there, and this is where it gets fun, guys. And I told them, kind of schooling them in advance, that they can share what they want to share and not share what they don't want to share, because there's some things that are personal and private, and I'll leave that up to their discretion. And so what I want to ask you guys is, as you think about the different qualities or characteristics about your spouse that first attracted you to him or her, all right, what were those things that attracted you to your spouse? So, Frank, you're up first. Now, everyone's going to have to share a little bit on this. We'll come down the line, and we're going to start things positive, and then it's just going to be downhill from – no, it's going to be uphill from there. So,
well, since you said first.
Yes.
She looked great. Okay, first attraction, no doubt about that. What I can tell you to this day what she was wearing that day.
What was she wearing?
She had on blue jeans. She had on a peach colored button up top, long blonde hair at that time, and those blue eyes just shined under that blonde. I remember it vividly. So yeah, absolutely. So that would have been initial. Yeah,
of course, the chemistry was there.
No doubt, no doubt. Right. But, you know, I roll forward to after we started dating. I think I can give an example of one of the characteristics I found appealing was how sure of herself she was, how grounded she was and is. And a good example of that is on October the 19th, a few months later of that year, up here at Oak Mountain State Park, was when I first got the nerve to tell Pam I loved her. And that's a big deal, guys. Okay, I finally rallied enough courage to make that statement. And I'm holding her hand, and we're sitting there on a rock at Oak Mountain State Park, and I make that statement, and I'm waiting for that reply that I hope to hear. And she looks me in the eye, and she goes, "Oh, really? How do you know you love me?" So I think that demonstrates that assuredness that I found attractive.
That's great. Thank you, Frank. Pam.
Well, it was his looks, too, but he and his family were not like my family. They were, like he said, his parents never fought. I got along with his mother right off. He was very kind, a very romantic, mm-hmm. You know, and I quit dating other people when we started dating. I had dated a lot.
Okay. Very good. All right. Twyla, are you able to? Maybe we can get somebody to do sign language. Maybe my wife can help out.
Okay. Thank you. part of what attracted me to Bill was that we had known each other from childhood, and our families were very much alike, and that was very important to me. Felt like that was a good foundation. Both of our dads were leaders in the church. His dad was an elder. Mine had been preaching since he was a teenager. And so we had lots in common. And that gave me a lot of reassurance about a known entity, a known quantity. Another thing was that one of his very best friends went to church with me, and he knew that I kind of was interested in Bill Jones, and he said, "I'll just tell you, there is nothing that is going to get in Bill's way of finishing school. And I liked that a lot. I loved knowing that he had a plan, that he was working, and that it was not inappropriate ambition, but he was preparing for life. And he also played the bass guitar in the band at Alabama Christian at the time, so he was a rocker. So
bring it on.
He was in a hair band.
Yeah, that was a time we saw the mullet, right? The mullet. Very good, Twyla. Bill, what about you? What attracted you to Twyla?
Yeah, and what Twyla said about being raised in a similar fashion meant a lot to me as well. Knowing what our ambitions were, our foundations were very similar. But then as we came into young adulthood and we began to spend some time together, I was, of course, very physically attracted to her. Told somebody the other day that when I got Twyla out, kicked my coverage. but I was always very attracted to her physically. But she's got a number of characteristics. Those of you that are around her know this, but she's very much an encourager. And she encouraged me so much when I was in school. She's very much an optimist. I, on the other hand, am very much a realist. And so we kind of balance each other in that way. And so I'm sometimes doom and gloom, and she's the one to say, no, it's all going to be okay. And so she's helped me with that, and I've probably helped her with some contingency planning. So anyway, that's all I've got for that.
Perfect. Donna, you're up.
Lance and I were both very physically attracted to each other on our blind date.
Can you hold the mic?
Yeah, yes.
Here we go. Thank you.
We had a blind date. I had been in Miami for 3 months working with Delta Airlines, and my roommate set us up. I can remember every single thing about that day because when I went home, I called my mom and dad and woke them up and said, I'm going to marry that boy.
Wow.
And 3 weeks later, he asked me.
To marry you?
Yes. He told me he loved me, and we had a little problem. My sister was getting married in October, so I didn't want to ruin her thunder. So we waited till she'd been married for 2 weeks, and we got engaged.
I love it. That's
hilarious.
But
what hit me that night is we were at Tony Roma's on Miami Beach, and before they brought the food, they brought us water. He said, I just want need to tell you that God is the most important thing in my life, and do you mind if I say a prayer? He didn't know that, but that's when I said, I'm going to marry that boy in my head.
Wow. Sealed the deal. That's great. Lance.
It was a blind date. 3 months earlier, I went to a basketball game that I was supposed to meet her at. Got off work, got there, and walked inside. Didn't know where she was sitting. And so I saw somebody I knew, and I said, hey, do you know a Donna Miller? And he said, yeah, I think I do. It's that girl over there. And I looked. I said, my sister's playing a trick on me. I have four sisters. So I said, no, and I left. And so I stood her up that night. So I was shallow. So anyways, the characteristics of Donna, loved her accent. Don't hear that much in Miami. Hmm. And so it was that and her her love for the Lord.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome. You got a mic. All right.
I'll go first since she went first.
Okay. David.
We were children of the 80s, so unlike Frank, I do remember where we met. I didn't remember what she was wearing, but we did meet in front of Chick-fil-A in Jasper Mall. So. And I can honestly say that she was as beautiful now as she was then when I first met her. So that was the first attraction. We were very young, so, you know, that was basically all it took at that point. But later on, I realized that she has a very good foundation and very an inner strength inside of her that really attracted me toward her. And I found out later on that inner strength came as a result of her foundation of growing up in Christ and actually, you know, doing the things that, you know, we hope that we get our kids to do. So
super. Barbie.
Now
hello. Yeah, now you're up.
Well, we met, like Donna and Lance, on a blind date. And at the Chick-fil-A in the mall.
Okay. I'm sorry. Make sure you all hold your mics
I
up.
I know. Bigger voice than this. So we met on a blind date at the mall. And that night, he wasn't even supposed to be my date. So... he wasn't. It was supposed to be another guy. So, what got me that night was his sense of humor and he was tall and I was little bitty and I like tall guys. Mutt and Jeff is what my mom called us. But David has always been kind and I'm loud and out there and over the top, and he's not. And that we are complete opposites, but that has been throughout our dating and throughout our marriage has been what has been our balance and what has been what was good for us, because where he was witty and fun, I was not. And that was a good balance there.
Kind of complemented each other, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank y'all. Okay, now some of these questions I'm just going to ask to the group, and we'll just make it, again, fluid, and anyone that wants to answer, just jump in there, all right? So the next one is, what are some things that you have learned along the way regarding how to make your marriage work? So your marriage, not other people's marriage, but your marriage, what are some things you've learned to make your marriage work? Just who would like to tackle that one first? Looks like Bill's going for the mic. All right.
And this is just for Twyla and me, of course. But yep. One of the things that has made our marriage successful, I think, is we very early in our marriage, we fell into roles. We had been raised very similarly. And we had a vision of what a family should look like, the way we were raised. And so we fell into those roles. I would be the provider, the primary provider. She would be a homemaker. She would take care of the children. And all of that seemed to work very well for us. It may not work for everybody, of course. And I don't remember us ever being in competition with each other over anything.
Okay. So the roles, knowing those roles, kind of having those demarcated, it was helpful to you as a couple. Great. Okay. Somebody else.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I think you could say that about our relationship too. You know, and one thing I would add with regard to Pam and I is, although unlike Bill and Twyla, our backgrounds, especially with regard to church, there were some significant differences. Okay. However, we both entered into marriage with the common firm commitment that Christ was to be at the center of that marriage and at the center of that relationship. And we recognized the fact early in our marriage that we needed to resolve those differences of opinion quickly and work toward that end, because we needed that unity in our faith, especially before the family came along, if we were to be blessed with children. Honesty, I think. We've always been honest, I can say, with each other, sometimes to a fault. And then we'll go to conflict resolution later when you're that honest with each other. But just simply, and you mentioned it earlier, I mean, quite honestly, you can't pray too much. You absolutely cannot pray too much. And prayer has got to be a cornerstone of that relationship.
Makes it work, doesn't it? David, you were going to hop in there a moment ago.
As usual, Frank takes what I was going to say, but I'll expand on it just a little bit. I think the thing that has always given me comfort, I've always been real self-conscious about myself, but the thing that's always given me comfort is the foundation that we set out early on in our marriage, is that we know that we're in it for life, and we know that we're not going to give up on either one of us. So anytime, no matter how heated the discussion got or how mad we got at one another, we knew that, you know, at the end of the day, we're still going to be together, and nobody's going to walk out the door, and there's not going to be an end to what's going on.
Perfect. Great. Got those three men. I'm wondering if maybe a lady or two will speak up here on this one. Things that if there's a lady or that would like to share from a woman's perspective what you think has made your marriage work.
I think Lance and I both had wonderful examples. He's from a family of six children. His parents were married over 50 years. I'm from a family of five children. Our parents, my parents were right at 50 years when my dad passed away. Both of our parents loved each other and loved the Lord. But they didn't teach us how to be married. And I think because ours happened so quickly, and he was the baby of the family, I was the oldest of the family, our friends will say that our first year we fought a lot. And we did. And I think it was probably about 9 or 10 months into our marriage, because don't get me wrong, we fought a lot, but we loved a lot also.
Sure.
We realized we were fighting over silly things. Mm-hmm. I threw his meal in the trash one night because he picked his pork chops up with his hands. And I also threw his toothpaste, which was our toothpaste, in the trash can because it's a mess. So we had,
wow,
probably, wouldn't you say it was at 9 or 10 months, we had a discussion that we liked it when we loved but did not like it when we fought. Not that we weren't going to ever have fights, but could we get them little stuff out?
Right.
So on the toothpaste, we got our own toothpaste. And to this day, we have our own. He can squeeze it however he wants to. The toilet paper, he liked it under, and this is a true story.
Uh-huh.
I liked it over.
Figures.
So opposites. We're very opposite. So we came to the agreement, I use more toilet paper than he does, so I'll win that battle. But once you can laugh about things, we found out, to this day, we'll sometimes stop and go, is this worth it? You know, if you're going to have a fight, let's make it the important things in life, not the silly things in life.
I just have one question.
When you go through hardships, you realize that's so much better than in your first year of marriage.
That's right. But a question I got is, what about the dental floss? All right. We're going to move on to the next question. Great work here. Okay, as you think about some of the highs, let's focus on some of the highs that you've had. Not speaking about illegal substances either, but highs you've had, mountaintop experiences in your marriage. Just anyone speak to this? You know, if you mention one or two things that was a really up moment for you in your marriage, what has that been? Go ahead, Pam. You're grown for it.
Okay. The birth of our children, of course. They were every 3 years, and I have no clue how that happened.
Every 3 years?
Every 3 years, yeah. And it just, we were both babies. I was the youngest.
On our 12th anniversary, I told her we've got to do something different.
And we did. And then I would say the birth of the grandchildren. Oh,
birth of grandkids. Okay.
And just that was wonderful. And having them. And I'll let him do the rest.
You know, one kind of really, of course, you know, all those traditional things that Pam mentioned, you know, the baptisms, the graduations, the weddings, of course. But I tell you, between us as a couple, some of the really highs that I've enjoyed over the years, we've had the opportunity to travel down, you can relate to this, to travel together on several mission trips. And getting away from work and all the responsibilities of that and the kids and going out. And, you know, we've spent time in Central America. We've been in India, the UK, the Middle East, and really like getting into, you know, rural communities where you kind of, you know, get away from all the comforts of home, if you will. It really pulls you close together. You really have to depend on each other. And in that setting, I look back on that as being some really, really special moments, not only in sharing the gospel, but as a couple.
Love that. And let me just suggest, if you've not gone on a mission-type trip with your spouse, just do it. Set something. I know this congregation has there's lots of opportunities to do that sort of thing. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Just take a week, two, take a month if you can, but it will benefit your relationship. So I'm so glad, just at the spiritual level too. And it's just fun, you know, to be gone. Anyone else? Highs. Are you reaching for it, Lance?
No.
Okay. Who else? Twyla, go ahead.
Ditto to what y'all said about children's births, their baptisms, the birth of our grandson. Nothing will ever compare to that. But between us, there have been wonderful trips. There have been fun things. I'll have to say at this point, my highs are the days we get to spend together, just us. We both like the woods and stuff that you do in the woods. We like water and those days together. I relish those now. And it's not a big purchase. It's not expensive. It's not fancy, but it's with him. Those are my highs.
Great. Those special moments that just come up just by being together.
She and I talked about this, of course, before today, and we kind of realized together that some of the highs that we've had have really been followed by lows. Mm. You know, it's really, you go through very difficult times together with children, aging parents, dying parents, other kind of difficulties, and then you realize you're in the middle of this with this other person, and you've watched them go through it gracefully, and your appreciation increases for that individual. So I think some of those highs really were associated with lows in that way.
Yeah, if you don't have the lows, you can't appreciate the highs either. Lance.
Just to add in, one of the real highs is going to a kind of grouping like this and got to hear about first time I'm in sales a lot, so understanding what the person, what buttons to push is very, very important. And not understanding your wife. Going to a seminar like this, we did one, and it was called His Needs, Her Needs.
Right, Willard Harley.
It was very eye-opening for me to understand my spouse and what her real needs were. I was way off.
That's great. I want to just say something on that. My wife and I went through the Willard Harley, the His Needs, Her Needs, and I don't know if you remember in that there's a section where they say, you know, choose a song that represents your marital love, especially the sexual aspect of it. And so, you know, The Wind Beneath My Wings, you know, all these different songs. One guy stood up, serious, an elder in the church. He stood up and he said, the song that represents our sexual relationship, he said, Precious Memories. I mean, we just lost. And he was serious, though. He wasn't trying to make a joke. It was one of the funniest. Do you remember that, Missy? So funny. Other highs, anybody?
I have to say, when I met Lance, he was, even though we had both been raised in families that were Church of Christ, he was so different from me.
Okay.
I'm very quiet, reserved. He's not. One of the highs was doing things I never, ever thought I would ever do in my life.
He pulled you out of your comfort zone.
I rode in an airboat, and it got stuck, and he told me I had to get out in the Everglades and walk. I literally looked at him and said, "You'll carry me." Because he had told me what was in the water. But the whole point of that is get out of your comfort zone. And if you're two of me, quiet, push yourselves. Mm. Some of our most favorite times were just him calling me and say, "Let's go to the Keys. Here, let's go to Ruffner Park. Let's go to Oak Mountain. Push yourself." Because some of us have to be pushed.
Yeah. That spontaneity is... It just injects energy and fuel into the relationship, too. I love that. Any others? You want to chime in? Go ahead, Pam.
I guess one of the highs I hadn't thought about that I do want to say was actually Frank learning the truth, becoming the understudy of Jerry Jenkins. Jerry Jenkins took him right under his wing, and just Frank excelled in teaching, and it was such a wonderful thing to watch, and the memories of that are very special.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Great. Well, we're going to shift a little bit here to the other side, because every couple has their challenges, and again, you share what you want to share or don't, what you don't want to share, but what are some unique challenges or difficult spots in your marital relationship that have come along? And you might not only share about that, but share how you got through it. Okay, so difficult times, challenges that you faced as a couple. We've got a brave volunteer, Bill.
We talked about this before. I want you all to know this, but when Twyla and I were first married, for the first few years, we had some conflict. And, you know, we still have conflict, but I think during that time it was probably worse. It was kind of a conflict of visions, okay, because I had a job in a certain location, and she was very tied to her family in Montgomery. She had a very enmeshed extended family there. There are a lot of them there in Montgomery area. I had a very well-paying job at the time and had a career that I was working on, I thought. And so when we got married, we moved away from Montgomery. We moved to Adamsville, Alabama, not much there. And I think she realized pretty quickly that wasn't where she wanted to be. My fault was, you know, I've got to earn enough for us to do what we want to do here in terms of you staying home with kids and things like that. But it was away from her family. And so to her credit, though, I think she realized I wanted to do this, you know, for the good of us. And so she submitted to my judgment in that, but she prayed very hard that we would go to Montgomery. And in 4 years, I had an opportunity with the company for a promotion, a better situation, to go to Montgomery. So we did get to go there for 2 years, and we got to have our second child there. But I wanted to say that that there was a lot of conflict in those first few years about that, but there were some really good things that came out of it. One of those was she and I learned to rely on each other. If we had been very close to family, I'm not sure we would have grown as close as we did, as quickly as we did. The second thing is being away from family encouraged us, I don't want to say forced us, but it encouraged us to get very deeply involved with our church family, because we needed people close that we could rely on. And I think it really paid off for us in the long run that we went through that, that we were away from everybody. You want to?
You're right.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to mention, you know, we've jokingly made comments, but there's truth in that humor, that one of the reasons Pam and I have sat up here both days is who's that couple that's made every mistake they can possibly make and recover from it, and I think that's our description. You know, we've been down the troubled teen path. We've been down the financial struggles path to the extreme. As a young couple, we immediately dove very deeply into debt and had a lot of issues. So from the, know, how to survive that financial crisis, how to survive that troubled teen crisis. We've had the premature, in Pam's case, the premature loss of parents and siblings. In my case, the being the extended caregiver of parents before they passed. So that whole smorgasbord, if you will, mm-hmm. of life's challenges, and we've been blessed to come through. And I think Bill hit on something that I could say is extremely true of how we survive that. Of course, that dependency on one another, but the church family, by virtue of the fact that, again, with the differing backgrounds and some other factors with regard to family on both sides, we really, really, really relied on our church family. That became our safety net during those times. And I can't stress enough to the importance of, you know, we're all guilty of coming to worship, putting on the facade that everything's okay. And when we finally realized that our family was not the only young family that was struggling, that was such a burden removed. Having those few, it's not, but I encourage you, having those few close, intimate relationships with a brother or sister in Christ whose judgment you trust, that you can go to and you can confide in and talk to, and you know will tell you the truth. Priceless. Priceless. And I look back on those couple of men that I had in the church where we worshiped through those years that I knew I could go to and rely on. And again, I encourage everyone to seek out and build those intimate relationships.
I guess ours was when we lost everything financially. Okay. So started when we married. I didn't come from a well-to-do family, neither did she. But for some reason, the Lord blessed me in my sales to the point that I was in the right place at the right time. I was in Miami when they rebuilt Miami, down on South Beach. So most of the stuff there was my equipment. South America did stuff and trading there. And things were very good for us. And we started living a lifestyle that neither one of us came from. So we moved up here because my hobby, I guess you could say, used to be hunting and fishing, but it became more work. I enjoyed it. I got, I guess, my thrill from the deals. So when we made the decision to move to Birmingham, our kids were getting into school by that time, and anyways, probably shallow at that time, but she was the only blonde-haired girl in her school. So it was mostly a Hispanic had gone in Miami. So we moved up here, and I did business here, did real well, got bought out, went into more and more deals, and then whatever reason, it just turned off. Mm-hmm. Everything I used to touch that made gold went away, mm-hmm. and we lost everything. Wow. And so we were 2002. And during the 90s, or I guess the late 90s, there was this men's awareness of having a group like that. And there was a group of us guys that got together, usually on Fridays, and we did it religiously for how long, Bill?
15 years.
So Bill was one of the guys in the group with me. And so
it's like a Promise Keepers group?
Yes.
Type of group?
Something like that.
We just kind of did our deal off of that.
They met every Friday morning in our basement or the Joneses' basement.
Okay.
So when this happened to Lance, his first reaction was to go to a friend in our neighborhood who was a lawyer and very good friends of ours. And nothing against him, because they ended up having a great conversation about what had happened to him. But he said, Lance, I'd probably just go out in the front yard and shoot myself. His reaction was so different from his five men in his Bible study.
But anyways, it was pretty amazing letting God rebuild it.
Yeah. He's been good. And y'all stuck through it together. You know, I mean, going through financial pain, my wife and I have been through that too. And man, it's folks that have not been through that,
yes,
and have about lost it or gone bankrupt or come really close to the brink of disaster. That is some scary stuff, and it just unravels you.
Yes. I'm not good in public forum, but what was interesting, how God led us. The group prayed. One of the guys in the group gave me a job. I didn't have a job anymore.
Wow.
The kids, my oldest was at...
Take your time. Take your time.
Our oldest child was at a youth function playing laser tag. My husband only reads the Bible. He does not read. He walks into a bookstore and picks up Dave Ramsey. Read it in one day. And he's very competitive. It became a game with him, what we could sell, what we could pay off. It's too long a thing how God worked in this, but he had a building. The bottom had sunk because his business was in fiber optics. It's all with the stock market. Everyone's telling him, you won't even be able to sell this building. He sold it for top dollar. He had a drilling machine that was worth... It was just amazing how God worked in our life. And so, even though it was very hard for me and I cried a lot, I probably prayed more than I ever had in my life, and we drew closer together. Yeah. Because we worked as a team, and he was able to pay off his debt in 1 year.
Going through that sort of crucible, it drives you to your knees, and like I was saying earlier on, you know, you either get better or you get bitter, but you guys stuck together through it, and... Yeah, you can blame, right? All right, I'm watching the clock here, and I want to try to get back on time. So what I'm going to do is the last question, and lots of you brought in things that God, the way God has played a role in your relationship, and so you can speak to that and or... Now the last question, though, that I want to focus on is if you can give any advice or suggestions today to couples who are either newly married or couples who are struggling in their marriage. It could be do's and don'ts. Let's just go down the line. We're going to start actually there with David. Just, everyone just to share a couple of pointers of advice that you would give to a couple that's either newly married or struggling in their marriage.
Well, I'm a very pragmatic person, so when it comes to... And you touched on this morning, but when it comes to issues that your spouse will come to you about, don't try to fix it. Listen, and don't try to make suggestions, even though it may pop in your head that that's the way to go. Listen, and don't try to fix it, because they're trying to vent to you, they're trying to connect to you and try to explain to you how they're feeling, and you need to absorb that and let it be.
They're looking for support.
Yes.
Right. Well said. Thank you. Yes. Barbie.
I think now, looking back, I would probably say that if you are two working, if you're a working couple, to take time to spend your time not working. Like Twyla said earlier, how her and Bill like to go out into the woods and do things. As David and I have come back around to the point that we are just now becoming almost empty nesters, with our oldest being 16 and never home. Not quite empty nesters, but getting there. We're learning how to be a couple again.
Right.
And when we first started out, we were both working. I was working a retail job that worked a lot of hours. We didn't spend a lot of time together. So our first years of marriage were not together a lot.
So we're learning how to do that again. So I would say at the beginning, you know, you have that honeymoon phase of, you know, the first 6 months or whatever, but that needs to last a lot longer, because then babies come and then toddlers and teenage years, and you don't have that time, and then you have to learn it all over again at, you know, when you're in your 40s. So I would suggest taking a lot of time. I'm watching my son do that now, and they spend a lot of time on the weekends going to the dog park and going on dates with their friends and stuff like that, and we really, really encourage them to take that special time and not focus on video games or football games or things like that, but to date.
Yeah, steal those moments together. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Like Donna said earlier, no surrender. There was no way out. Divorce is not an option. Okay. So no matter how bad it got, there's no easy way out. We have got to work it out.
Yeah, no surrender.
And we've told, Lance has talked to all of our children before they got married. And Nat, is our son-in-law from Australia, is probably the one raised most different from us. But he knew right on that divorce was never to be mentioned in their home with his daughter. And Nat said no one had ever talked to him like that and how much he appreciated it. The other thing I would like to say to women, I've lived a pretty naive life, I think, with most of my friends or my church friends. But when our daughter was a cheerleader for Hoover High School, I was a chaperone on a competition and thrown in a condo situation with women I knew only at football games. And I was not aware of it at that time, but I am now. There is a lot of bashing of husbands from men, and I mean from women about their husbands. I think there were 8 of us in that condo, and only 2 of us did not bash our husbands. Wow. I've talked to my 2 daughters about it, and they both said it's very common.
It's disloyal, isn't it?
So we've told our daughters. Lance had to tell me I had a negative friend in the 80s, and she rubbed off on me. We've told our daughters, if you can't change them, you need to get away from them. It's not healthy. And it could be happening vice versa, but I've only seen it from the women's point of view. So my thing is, I pray for Lance daily, and he knows that. The other thing is to smile at them. A smile can do so much good. I like it when he smiles at me.
Amen. Thank you. Bill?
Suggestions. I think we all need to understand and embrace the fact that marriage is not easy. Jesus told his disciples that if you're going to follow me, you're going to have some difficult things to deal with. But that if you persevere in that, your rewards will be great. And I think the same thing applies to marriage. I don't think God ever intended for this to be easy. But if you work at it, if you invest in it, you persevere, then the rewards will be great there as well.
Amen. Thank you. Twyla.
I would say that if you are a woman and happen to find yourself in a marriage where you are the extrovert and your husband is the introvert, consider getting out of the way enough so that he can lead. I had trouble with this as a younger woman, and I still have to check myself. One day when we were walking out of church as newlyweds, I was walking, he was allowing me to walk in front of him as a gentleman, and the elder at the door shook my hand first and said, "Hey, y'all are new here, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, we're Bill and Twyla Jones." And so anyway, we chatted and we got to the car, and Bill said, "That makes me look henpecked when you speak for us." Mm. And I kind of had the thought, you know, if, buddy, if you got something to say, you need to hop in there. I needed to get out of the way. His leadership style is not my daddy's leadership style. Mm-hmm. It's different, and it's excellent, mm-hmm. and it works. Yeah. I needed to get out of the way.
It's good, sound advice. Thank you, Pam.
Yes. Ladies, the only thing I'd like to say to y'all is you need to remember to guard your husband's soul, to watch and make sure that he's doing what he needs to do, because you're just as much responsible for making sure he makes it to heaven as he is you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and of course, that's a two-way street, and it's hard to add anything to this list. It's an excellent list of advice. I guess the one thing that I would add that summarizes a lot of this is, and if I don't remember if it was today or yesterday, I think it was yesterday, you know where I'm coming from on this when I say this, is say I love you often. You know, I know your actions demonstrate that, no doubt, and a lot of things you do demonstrate that. I think it was in yesterday's session, for the benefit of those that weren't here yesterday, my mom and dad had a very loving relationship, very successful marriage, married for close to 60 years before they passed. But during that entire time, never heard my dad one time ever utter those words to my mom. And as she got older, mom confided in me, you know, how much that troubled her, although she had no doubt dad loved her. So I can't stress enough, you know, how important it is to take the time to say that and say that often.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate so much the Browns and the, that is right, yeah, the Rushings. Thank you, the Joneses. Thanks, and the One Poles. Thank you. These guys have done a marvelous job, and they've made themselves kind of vulnerable today, which is tough to do, especially when you're leaders in different ways. So I would like us to show our appreciation to them. Let's give them a round of applause for a great job. I tell you what, I hope that you are paying close attention. I was. And some great pearls of wisdom shared here this afternoon. Thank you again, guys. We're going to take a little break here. I know we're running, I believe, a little bit over schedule. But I do want us to get a bit of a break. And so let's, if we can take about a 10-minute break, and I'll try to abbreviate my comments this afternoon. So we'll take a 10-minute break. We'll come back at 2 o'clock to start the last session on how to affair-proof your marriage. Thanks again, guys.